We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope that this encourages you and challenges you in every area of your life. In this episode, we conclude a two-part conversation with Rishi Bhaskar, a principal consultant at The Table. During our time together, we talked about how to lead during a pandemic. Let's listen in.
The very first thing that we need to do as leaders, as we're speaking to our teams, as we're speaking to our organizations, as we're working with people, the first thing we need to do is, number one, be exceedingly human. With everything that implies, demonstrate your concern for people who have very real fears and anxiety right now. I mean, I'm working with people that are professional and they've conducted business for years and they're doing, you know, quite a large quantity of business as well, but they've never worked full-time from their home ever. And all of a sudden now this big shot leader is sharing a home office with their spouse. And I was actually speaking to somebody just the other day and we're having a fairly significant, very important conversation because there's an tremendous impact that's occurred and I'm trying to figure something out, and every 2 minutes his spouse is speaking with her boss right behind him and she's loud, and I'm like, could you just get her to shut up so we can have a conversation? And I'm like, no, grace, stop. And if I'm thinking that way, I can't even imagine what his team is thinking. And all of a sudden I said, dude, I have to be exceedingly human with you. You need to be exceedingly human with your people, because this is probably happening over and over and over again. We're even in the last video we did, we had a dog that walked across. My kid has already walked across my windows. This is happening everywhere. And if there was a silver lining, it's the fact that everyone is experiencing it. And so, again, there's never a positive in a crisis, but at least we're all in it together. So let's be human. And so, number one, that means show people grace. Show people grace if there's somebody else in the office. Show people grace if their kid shows up while they were doing a meeting. We have to show grace as leaders, because if you're anything like me, you expect your meetings to be buttoned up. You expect your people to be prepared. You expect, hey, we said we're going to start at 11. Let's start at 11. We're going to get right into it. We're going to have a professional meeting. Yeah, I think we need to not be so professional, but be exceedingly personal. And part of being human is just being vulnerable, like we discussed last time. So even if I don't have all the answers for what we're going through, I think we need to talk to our teams and tell them, I don't know. I just don't know. And in fact, they probably just don't know as it pertains to their department or their teams. Hey, what are we going to deliver in terms of production for this quarter? And I think you need to let that individual say, I don't know. And then we talked about vulnerability really quickly. So I'm duplicating a little bit if you heard or watched the other video. But contrary to conventional wisdom, where it says, as a leader, don't let people see you sweat. No. This time more than ever, I think it's okay for you to share your concerns with your people. You can let them know that you relate to their concerns and let them know that they're not alone in the concerns that they have. Be exceedingly human. And that means push the limit of your vulnerability to them as you are leading your teams. It's I think our responsibility as leaders to demonstrate vulnerability, to demonstrate humility, and help your people know it's okay. It's okay to be exceedingly human. Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I totally agree, Rishi. And this is something that I try to do. But you know, we joke around with our team a lot because we love The Office. We love that show. Yeah. Jeremy's the only one that hasn't seen that TV series, which we're still trying to pray for him and get him saved.
Needs to get saved.
Yep. But I really think that a lot of us need to have a little bit of Michael Scott in us, where we can have a lot of fun, still be good at our job, still be good at what we do, still get things done. Yeah. But even in this time right now, I think it's really important, just like your first point, to be exceedingly human, is to really just offer up peace when you are exceedingly human. When you try to do that and you offer up peace and you walk in peace, guess what? Your whole team will feel peace. Your whole team will start feeling, hey, I don't need to be stressed out. If he's not stressed out, I'm not going to be stressed out.
Yeah.
We have a lot of responsibilities as leaders, as teammates. And what we want to do is just walk in peace.
Yeah.
Walk in peace. Yes, we're going to be vulnerable right now, and we're not going to strive for perfection. We're going to be excellent in what we do, but we're going to walk in peace in what we do. And maybe a little Michael Scott will kind of help with that, to have a little fun, to have have some laughing moments, to talk about my hair or the lack of your hair or things like that. And just have those moments where we're not just talking about work all the time, but we can also take a moment and laugh at something that someone misspoke.
No, that's great, James. And for some reason, as leaders, we come to a place where we have a higher expectation of our people. So, yeah, I'm making all these mistakes and I have all this stuff happening at home, but I need you to show up a certain way. And I think right now what they need more than anything else is they need a leader who's human. They need a leader who can relate to the trauma that they're experiencing, however small or however big. And so if we can't be human, it's going to be really hard for us to connect with our people during this time. If we were to just leave it at that, I think we'd be doing a huge disservice. Because we do need to be exceedingly human. We do need to show tremendous grace. We have to be tremendously understanding. And James, like you said, we need to walk in peace. We need to speak peace, shalom in everything. I get it. But number two, we also have to be exceedingly persistent. Now more than ever, as a leader, we need to be exceedingly persistent. This is not time to hold back. When we first got into this whole COVID thing, some of the leaders that I work with said, do we just pause everything? And I said, no, absolutely no. Be human, but be persistent. Not like in your face persistent, but be persistent. Don't worry about, you know, I'm communicating too much or I'm sharing too much or I'm because I've spoken to many leaders that are deeply concerned. Oh my gosh, do I want to send yet another note? And here's what I'd say to that. The truth is, I've been through a lot of exit interviews as I speak to people about the organization they're leaving, just so we can learn a little bit about the organization. And I've never not once heard a leader leave an organization or even any other team member leave an organization and say, man, if there's one thing they could improve on, those leaders, they just communicate too much. I've never heard that. On the other hand, on the flip side, almost verbatim at exit interviews, we hear, I wish I just knew a little bit more of what my leaders were saying, what my leaders were thinking, what they thought of my performance, how they thought I was doing for the organization, how important my role is, and how it connects with the bigger picture. They say so much about communication. People want to hear from you. So be exceedingly human and understand what they're going through, but be exceedingly persistent. Share your expectations of them during this time. But we also have... We are also serving an organization. We also have work that we're trying to do together. And people want to know how they're performing, what you think of me. Am I delivering the way that I should be? So I think it's extremely important to hold people accountable right now. Let them know how they're doing. Offer them feedback. And so if somebody is struggling to deliver well because of a COVID-related situation, then I think it's an opportunity for us to pray with them. It's an opportunity for us to find them help. It's an opportunity for us to be human along with them. But if they're struggling to perform just because of who they are, because you know they've had those tendencies even before COVID or whatever the case might be, that's not okay for you as a leader to ignore that, especially to extend some level of weird or inappropriate grace. Oh, they're not delivering their numbers or they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing because of COVID. We have to be really careful about that, okay? We have to understand the situation and be human about it, but we have to help our people. And one of the best ways we can help our people, one of the best ways you can help them be better leaders is to help them by calling them up to a higher standard. By saying something like, Tim, if I was to use you as an example, to say, hey, Tim, I love what you're doing here. And as I look at you and as I've learned things about you, I really believe you're capable of operating over here. And I'd love to help you to close that gap, to raise your standard. And I want to help you as a leader. Raising people or calling people up to a higher standard is a form of accountability and is extremely important right now. Don't let people feel anonymous. People feel anonymous when they don't know that their work matters, when they don't know how to measure whether they're successful or not today. but they also feel anonymous when you're not giving them any feedback on how good they're doing or how bad they're doing, or they're not meeting the expectations that you have set for them. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And that's, Jeremy? That's so good, Rishi. I love that you use that word accountability. I heard this quote one time, and it said that the last cowardice act of a leader is to fire somebody they were never willing to be accountable for in the first place. And I think you can, if I could be even as bold, like, I think it goes further beyond that, in a cowardice act of a leader is hiring someone you were never willing to be accountable for in the first place.
Wow.
So, like, I think it's so important that we are intentional about giving feedback. You know, something we do in our team meetings is every time we meet, and we meet most days of the week, usually every day, but probably most consistently 4 days a week. And in every meeting, we kind of briefly reestablish, we give feedback, reestablish our roles. And it gives you, it kind of gives you that renewed sense of purpose, but it also peace. And it gives you that feeling that my leaders are paying attention. They care.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think the biggest thing is as a leader, and this is what I love about James and Tim and the team I'm on right now, is like, they're not just interested in leading me. They're interested in investing in me.
Yes, I love that.
A leader, that is something that we are called to, is investing in people. And that's where feedback comes in. That's where just being intentional with that stuff comes in. So, like, I love that you're talking about this. I think it's powerful. And I think it's important in business, important on teams, important in ministry, important with our families. Yeah. I love it, man. It's powerful.
Yeah, that's great. And I appreciate you adding that, Jeremy. One of the practical ways to do that is to help establish just a small basic plan, or we call it a rally cry. And that's to say, hey, this is what we're hoping to achieve as a team, especially now that we're away from the office. This is what we're working together towards. And these are the components of this rally cry. We're going to get this done. We're going to get this done. We're going to get this done. Again, not tactical items, but like a higher level. We want to increase this particular thing. We want to reach out to this particular level of people. I'm not really sure what those things are, but help them evaluate what success looks like and then give them feedback on it. Hey, I think you're doing really well here. Maybe that's a green light. I think you still need some focus and attention here. Maybe that's a red light, or somewhere in between, it's a yellow. So we don't need to get into the science and the analytics of what everything is, but at a high level, I have teams that measure themselves on a daily basis. Collectively as a team, we're trying to get this body of work done. These are the amount of reds, yellows, and greens we have. State of the union, this is what we're looking at. I think offering clarity is really important.
Yeah, so sometimes I think accountability can be a scary word when you're a leader. You know, like, you know, what is that? But the reality is, people want accountability. Your team wants accountability. And even right now, they want to know what they're doing is important. And they want to know maybe the areas where they have a blind spot and you can help them, give them practical tools or resources to help them grow in that area. They want that from you. And you're really not just doing yourself a disservice, but you're doing them a disservice when you're not willing to go there.
Absolutely.
And that's what your team is asking for, more so now than even before, because what are those areas that I could shore up and maybe do a better job in during this season?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so you couldn't be more right, but how could you hold somebody accountable if you don't even know what that standard is that you're holding them accountable to? Which is why I said, we've got to come up with some kind of a game plan, some kind of a rally cry, some evaluation of success so that you can help them connect the dots. Hey, Tim, according to this, I think you're doing, you know, really well, or here's where I'd like you to see you improve. And in that feedback, you're holding them accountable. And in that accountability, you're helping them be a better leader. Truly, if we were persistent with how we gave feedback, offered feedback to our people, we would help them be better leaders for either, you know, in how they serve the organization today or whatever organization they're going to serve next. Being persistent is so exceedingly important right now. And if I was to recap, I said, be exceedingly human, really important for you to connect with them, relate with them, understand that they're going through some trauma and probably you are as well. Be exceedingly persistent, which is share your expectations. It's not the time to hold back and establish some kind of a rally cry. And when I said about the communications, no one is going to look back at this season and say, dude, my manager was like so annoying by sending me all these encouraging emails and giving me all this clarity. No one is going to say that. So as much as, because we're leaders, we don't want to be redundant. We don't want to do that. I'm telling you right now, err on the side of too much communication. Err on the side of too much clarity. Don't worry about it. Lean on that side and do it. Clarity, I heard it defined this way once. It was so brilliant for me. Clarity is simply this: remove assumptions and ambiguity. When you've removed assumptions and ambiguity, you have clarity. When you can be persistent with clarity, I think that is one of the key roles of a leader today in a pandemic.
Yeah, if you talk to our team, you know that we've talked about over and over again how much we hate assumptions. We hate assumptions. I say it in a way that assumptions are a cancer to great expectations, and so and healthy expectations. And so I love this topic. I love just talking about this. It's good for me to be reminded about this. I think just a thought, as I'm listening to everyone talk, is expectations are a big thing. I think for us, with the expectations and how we are persistent in setting those expectations, I think the one thing that we're afraid of the most is feedback. Mm. We're afraid because we have maybe a skewed perspective of who is given that feedback. Mm. I love Gateway's perspective in this because we do have a social covenant. And one of my favorite things, takeaways from that social covenant, is we have to believe in the best from each other.
Yeah,
I know that if you were giving me feedback as a manager, as an oversight, or vice versa, I'm going to believe the best in you.
Yeah,
that you want the best for a Gateway Church. You want the best for me. And if we don't have that set standard already, if we don't have that expectation of that person already, then guess what? You're never going to ever have a positive reaction to feedback. Yeah. And so if Rishi, if you say, you know what, can I give you some feedback? Well, guess what? I know that you're my friend. I know that you have a great relationship with me. And I know, just like you said in your first topic, be exceedingly human. Like, I totally understand that vulnerability is here. And so because I'm giving you feedback, I can take this and receive this well.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people don't have that luxury. I think a lot of people are afraid of that feedback.
It seemed like there's a lot of talk about accountability and appreciation for that. So I think we put so much pressure on what that looks like. And James, you referred to it a little bit, and so did Jeremy and Tim. I think at the bottom of everything, accountability starts with just a genuine, complete surprise. It's like this: if we've removed assumptions and ambiguity, and we've got clarity that I want to move this thing from here to here. That's what the task is. That's what the work is. Everyone's agreed together. So I go away and I come back and I see Jeremy actually move this thing to this direction. I walk in and my first form of accountability starts with a genuine surprise. Hey, I thought we said we were going to do this. When somebody does something that's not in service of the decision that we collectively agreed upon, the conversation we have is just simple accountability. It's not throwing somebody under the bus. It's not a punitive punishment. It's simply a conversation that I'm a little bit confused about. I thought we agreed this way. And when I can have that in a human way, when I can have that in a humble way, and I can have that in a respectful way, then we take the pressure out of accountability. And all it is ensuring that we're establishing or keeping our standard. And then you as leaders, you're always calling people to a higher standard that you collectively agree upon. And again, it's the same conversation. Hey, I thought we agreed we're going to go here. Or in our last meeting, we talked about this. Where are we relative to that? That's all it is. And so anyway, it's not complicated. I think we just put all this undue pressure on ourselves. I'm going to go to the third and we'll wrap up. So be exceedingly human, be exceedingly persistent. It's okay to do both. Lastly, probably the most fun. Oh, sorry, Jeremy, you had something?
Yeah, I do. I actually love that you brought this up because it's something that I think not everybody understands. Now, maybe you want to kind of just pick your brain on it for a moment. But I think that something that is crucial to authentic accountability is direction. I think that sometimes, you know, And I think this happens a lot in, you know, we're all like, most people watching this can be men. I think this happens a lot in accountability circles with lust or things like that. It's like, hey, hold me accountable. And it's like, okay, hey, you didn't do this. So I'm bad on it. Do better next time. And we're holding them accountable, but in reality, all we're doing is calling them out. Holding them accountable says, hey, here's what happened. Here's where this pitfall came. Here's the direction we want to go. And here's how we're going to get there. And so, like, for leaders that are watching this, like, how would you say that we can, because I think it's so important that you include direction and accountability.
Yeah.
It's needed. I think you can't separate the two. So how would you advise the leaders watching this to make sure that they give direction when holding people accountable?
Yeah. Yeah. So first of all, I think that's a great statement. I don't know if I'm going to answer the question correctly, because I think it's actually simpler than we sometimes make it out to be. I think there's two components to it. Direction is absolutely, absolutely important, but commitment to that direction. So what I said earlier is come up with a small game plan, a rally cry. This is what I think we're collectively doing together, and here's all the components. And so if I have role clarity, James, you said we talk about roles, or is it Tim that said every week when you guys meet, you talk about certain things. Well, have a conversation every week as to what are you doing, Jeremy, to address this particular area that we collectively said is important for our team, you know, and how are we progressing towards that today? Are we a red, yellow, green? I like the colors because it's just simple. Most organizations, most leaders that I'm working with are drowning in data. They just have so much information about so much stuff. And I think it's hard to have a quick conversation that has anything meaningful. So that's why I do simple red, yellow, green. Just distill it down. How are we doing? And the conversation, have you ever heard the statement, how you have the conversation is more important than the conversation itself? So how we get at the red, yellow, green is actually far more important than coming up with this quantitative data that I'm certain you're struggling with how to interpret. Hey, Jeremy, I got to be honest with you. I really think you're at a red here. Now, are we at a red because maybe you didn't have as much clarity as necessary as to what we're trying to accomplish together, and that means I'm not giving you the direction? Or B, is it that maybe I gave you the direction, but you didn't agree on it? Maybe you walked away from that meeting thinking, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. I'm not going to do that. And so now that I'm having this conversation with you, hey, Jeremy, I thought we were moving this year. What happened? He's like, yeah, dude, I knew that wasn't going to work, so I didn't even bother. That happens all the time. And then I'm not going to hold you accountable again. I don't want to have that weird conversation. Actually, no. If as a leader, if your responsibility is simply, A, provide direction, very important, and then get their commitment. Hey, so Jeremy, does that sound good? Is that something you think you can do? Is that something that we can support you in and we can move it to this direction, whatever, does that resonate? Yes. I need to hear yes. And you say yes, great. Now, when it doesn't happen, somebody in the team, everybody that heard you say, yeah, I'm going to make that happen, anybody has the freedom to be surprised. Well, Jeremy, I thought when you and Rishi were talking about, we were going to move that. What happened? And that's all accountability is. It's simply a conversation that maybe you're a little surprised about because I thought we agreed. So I agree with you. It's direction and commitment. One of the reasons why leaders don't do this is because they think they're jerks. They think, hey, I know that James is going through stuff, COVID, whatever, and he's having a hard time, so I don't want to hold him accountable. I don't want to be that guy. Guess what? If you're exceedingly human first, and if you started with vulnerability, and you connected with him by helping him understand that I have the same issues, or at least I understand these issues, or to some level, James, I don't think I relate with you. That must be really hard right now. I don't have a parent or a child that's going through that, or a spouse that's James, I that must be really hard. And just leave it. If you are exceedingly human in a very genuine, sincere way, then when you hold somebody accountable, and listen, we're not being human to hold people accountable. That's not it. This is not a formula. This is just, I need to do this, and I need to do this to be responsible as a leader. When you're human, the accountability is, like James said, people want that feedback. Okay, lastly, be creative. Be exceedingly human, be exceedingly persistent, be exceedingly creative. This is not business as normal anymore. When people first started off, hey, I know it's COVID, I know we're working from home, but it's business as usual. No, it's not. Things have changed, and it's time for us to get creative. If you're the kind of guy like me that always likes to have things buttoned up and done a certain way, I think we're going to have to, this is an awakening for us. Be ready to be flexible. Be ready to do things differently. Number one difference for us was using video conference for everything. So that was being creative. Small things like that. I have another team where this is part of their after work. They literally come on Zoom and play games together. They have a game on Zoom. I mean, it's just, and one person actually, I don't know that I could actually do this, but we're hearing from so many different teams and organizations, but one team literally watched a movie on Zoom. I think that's a little bit extreme, but hey, they're being creative. It works for them. But all I'm saying is that during a crisis, and what we talked about earlier was this whole thing about isolation and leaders feeling alone, or just people in general feeling alone. During a crisis, especially when there's isolation, this is a tremendous opportunity for us to just create a bond that will endure long after the crisis is done. And so you create bonds by doing silly but creative things. And maybe they're not silly. Maybe they're just creative. I had teams that, and you probably know teams that have lunch together on Zoom just so that they can talk. Teams that spend, I'd mentioned it earlier in our last video, spent the first 40 minutes just talking with the team about stuff that's happening and being vulnerable and then doing things afterward that was business related. Be creative, because business is not going to be the same. And that's okay. So be open to that. Be exceedingly human, be exceedingly persistent, and be exceedingly creative. And I truly believe that this is a moment where they say that there's no such thing as a new normal, there's no such thing as normal, there's going to be a new normal. I truly believe that people are either going to emerge out of this pandemic in a positive, healthier way, or they're not going to be happy with where they are at the end of this. And I think if we can be human with our people, and if we can be persistent with our people, and if we can be creative with our people, then I truly believe we can come out of this in a better state. I don't think that the crisis was a good thing, but I do think that there are bonds that are being created. I do think that there's some special moments and special conversations that are occurring now that may not have happened before. And I do think that we're going to walk out of this in a better place, as long as we do those three things.
You know, one thing that I really love is the term water finds its own level. And in this situation, just like you said with 9/11, we never traveled the same way and the exact same way with this pandemic. We're probably not going to eat at our favorite restaurants the exact same way. We're not going to enjoy a ball game in the exact same way. We're not going to be able to. I just saw a meme the other day about someone trying to hug someone else, and you know, this person didn't like hugs in the first place. And so although it wasn't about a pandemic, it was about just the awkward hugs and the high fives. Like I even catch myself on watching on Netflix or something like that, and someone's giving a high five or a handshake or a hug, and I'm like, I just have anxiety in my own heart. Like, man, you're not supposed to be doing that right now, you know, things like that. But I think in general, like we water does find its own level in a way that we're going to figure this out. There is no new normal. It's just going to be something that we all do, something that our team does, and we joke about it all the time. I'm telling the whole world right now, but you know, our team, we're such a relational team that we need to build relationships. We need proximity, and although we can't be close to each other, one of our philosophies of ministry is the ministry of presence, to be in front of them, to always be with each other. And I tell you what, one thing that we always do, we find as a struggle with Gateway Church, is that we as a groups ministry, if you want to say groups ministry, we have seasons. We have three seasons on, one season off, that we take a break and we rest during that time. Well, a lot, and this is a secret, so don't tell anyone else, but a lot of our men's groups, they don't like taking breaks. They don't like taking breaks because they need to see each other all the time. They need to have that accountability. They need to have all those different things. And so it's something that we always kind of jokingly fight about, because men are always meeting week in, week out, because one small slip changes everything for them.
Yeah.
And so for us, we like to meet on our as a team through a healthy battle of Call of Duty Modern Warfare at night. And although that we're playing and having fun with each other, there's some times that we'll be talking to each other on the microphone, and we're talking about work, but we're also talking about some truths and some life type stuff. And so,
yeah,
it's interesting how we can connect in various different ways. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah, that's great. So really, I want to wrap up with a scripture that I want to speak on to you. But as I do, I'm going to just recap these 3 points. Number one, be exceedingly human. Number two, be exceedingly persistent. Number three, be exceedingly creative. Do things different. And so here's the scripture I wanted to share with you for all of you business leaders out there, Jeremiah 17. And I truly believe this is for you. Verse 7, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. And here you are, business leader, businessman, businesswoman, listen to this. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat. And what they mean by heat is some kind of a crisis, some kind of a pandemic, or really a time where there's a drought. That's what they mean by the heat. It's a drought. It's where we go without. They're not worried or bothered by the heat. They're not worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. We trust in the Lord. And I believe we, as business leaders, should not stop producing fruit. And I think that's just a supernatural provision of God. It's the supernatural providence of God. And I think God will do that for us as we're being exceedingly human, exceedingly persistent, and exceedingly creative.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with new episodes. And if you want to stay connected to everything we're doing as a ministry, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Until next time, have a blessed day.